to his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. God is faithful, and he inhabits and dwells and lives in the praises of his people. Aren't you glad about that? You know where God lives. If you ever want to know where God's at, worship, and that's where God's at. If you ever want to know where he is at, start praising God, and that's where he's at. But one more time, we lift our hands, our voices unto God and worship him. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, God. You're worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We lift up our voice and exalt you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. If you have the word of the Lord, and turn to the book of Psalms, the 22nd chapter. Once again, it's every thrill of mine to be able to speak, preach, teach, etc. in this sanctuary. And Pastor Myers gone and celebrating Sister Myers' birthday with her, I am glad to be able to minister. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, the 22nd chapter, it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Question mark. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou, the inhabitants, the praises of Israel. I'm going to read a few more portions of that chapter, but I want to just stop right there. And I want us to pray that God's word would be delivered tonight. I continually try to encourage and exhort. When the word goes out, there's four soils that it will fall on. And there's a 25% chance that we're going to grab a hold of everything we need to grab a hold of according to the teachings of Jesus and the four soils. And so the odds are against me because the flesh is great, right? That's just the truth, and that's what the teachings of Jesus is. But I do believe that every one of us can receive what the saith the Lord here tonight for what God has for each of us. So I want you to pray for yourself, and then I want you to say a prayer for your neighbor, okay? Or somebody around the wayside. It doesn't matter if they're across the sanctuary, etc. I want to say a prayer. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you, God, for the genuine presence that I feel. And I pray, Lord, that I'd receive your word. I pray, God, that it would strengthen me, to be planted in the good soil of my heart. And I pray, God, for someone else here that is in need. I pray, God, right now in Jesus' name. If you know somebody by need right now, mention their name in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray, God, for them that you would minister according to your goodness and mercy, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, you can be seated. It is certainly, before I get into the word of the Lord any deeper, it is certainly good to have Sister Jenna, pastor's wife of Dezetta. I was so questioned myself so much in my little personality trait. I'm almost certain. Do I have a chance to look up at Facebook to make sure that that's Dezetta? But I gave her a hug a while ago, and it's always good to see people that I was privileged to youth pastor and create so many good memories with, but love her and enjoying her and her children when they are here. And when they're not here, we enjoy Facebook. Amen, amen. And Brother Frankie, it's good to see you. God bless you. And Sister Liam, so good to see you. And my friend T over there, T just sort of wave at everybody right here at this wonderful gym. He was baptized in Jesus' name on Sunday. But it's unbelievable what God's doing in his life. And it's great things. And actually, I was sitting here wondering. I was like, you've heard me speak more than they've heard me speak in the last 9 months. So every week we get together. So anyway, I love this young man and all that he is to my kiddos and my son Ashton and Mason, etc. But, well, somebody say praise the Lord. God is good, God is good, God is good. The 22nd chapter of Psalms is a chapter that I didn't stumble across, but in some years ago that I came across in my readings, and it arrested my attention on some of the verbiage and the words that were spoken. It's Psalms 23 that we all enjoy, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. And he restoreth my soul. And I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and he's with me. And all of those things of Psalms 23, we really enjoy those things. I mean, green pastures and still waters. Brother Jerry likes still waters when he's going fishing. Green pastures and still waters, and even in the valleys and all of that, knowing that God, that's nice. Psalms, the 24th chapter, is a wonderful chapter of praise and worship. But the 22nd chapter of Psalms is one that begins with words and verbiage that literally grabs a hold of you. It's these words, and if I can do it, I'll try to justify a little bit of maybe what David was proclaiming when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't know how he did it in that sense, but I would say that in our life and in this manner, we can identify with that statement. That statement is not a statement necessarily, and if you fooled yourself and said you've never said that statement, you may be really fooling yourself. Because everybody at some point in time, if they've lived for God, has made or has at least felt those words come to life. He went up further and he said, why are you not helping me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, I'm crying to you in the daytime and you're not listening. I'm in the nighttime and there's a silence. He said, but thou art holy. He never lost his worship and his praise. God does not mind the hard statements that you present him. He can take it. He doesn't mind in difficult seasons you being frustrated with him. He can take it. But what we must, and our responsibility, is to never lose the sight that God, you're faithful. God, you deserve praise. In the third verse, you're holy, for you inhabit the praises of Israel, your people. But then he goes on and he starts to lament even further. Fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. You did it for them, they cried unto you, you did it for them. But verse 6 says, but I'm a worm. I'm no man, a reproach of men, despised of people. They're laughing at me. Now, when's the last time you really enjoyed being laughed at? Now, my kids laugh at me all the time, but I do instigate it a little bit, trying to brighten their day. But I really do not enjoy being laughed at, Brother John David. I don't like being made a spectacle of and getting humiliated as anybody would. But David is proclaiming, they're literally laughing at me. You did it for them, but this is what they're doing for me. I want to go down a little further, and I'm going to try to be mindful of the time, because you know and I know I have 4 pages of notes and get to 2 paragraphs. So I'm going to try my best. But he said this, going down in verse 11, he said, but be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Verse 12 is what really got a hold the first time I really started processing this chapter. He said, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. What a picture. Brother Millsap, that's a picture of agony. My bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's in the midst of my bowels. I'm poured out like water. David would express himself in this chapter, and then he would answer his own question. Never allowing himself to be emotionally, mentally, or spiritually located in a place where I can live in disgust, or I can live in anger, or I can live in bitterness, or I can live in pity. If your address is self-pity, that's not where God wants you to live at. If your address is bitterness, that's not where God wants you to live at. How many's ever dealt with a good dose of bitterness? What was the prescription? Was it easy to battle out of the get out of it? Just a little dose I've received, Brother Matt. It's not easy. And in fact, it still tries to get a hold of me. I've come to the conclusion right now in my life, I don't get sick really. I don't get sick. I don't know when the last time I've gotten sick. Spiritually though, I've had several doses of sickness since the last time I've been physically. And so what's the remedy? Folks, if there's prescriptions that the doctors want to prescribe to you and you take them faithfully, God is in the same manner spiritually for where you're living at. God wants to give you prescriptions that you must take, and you must take them faithfully, even when you are where David is and he's saying, my joints are out, they're dislocated, I'm melting, my heart is melting like wax. Well, this is the point that I really want to get into before we go further. Is anybody familiar with the opening statements David proclaimed in the first verse of the 22nd chapter of Psalms? Let me do it again. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where do you find that statement located else in the Bible? Somebody say the cross. You see what David was proclaiming in himself. He was prophetically acclaiming about Jesus Christ that would come from his lineage. Prophetically, he was saying, my joints are dislocated. Is that not... Now, Jesus didn't suffer a broken bone because it was prophesied, your bones will not break. But was his joints dislocated? Yes. So when we read the very words of David in a prophetic sense, you can hear Jesus saying this from the cross. My heart is melt like wax. My joints are dislocated. The bulls of Bashan are gaping on me with their mouths. They're literally surrounded. That was a prophetic measure of Jesus Christ. The bulls of Bashan have surrounded me. Has anybody felt like bulls surrounding you? Has anybody ever been charged by a bull? My brother got charged by, was it a bull or was it just a mean heifer? He don't remember. All he remembers it was a piece of livestock. You know what my grandfather did? Brandon, what did Paul do? He picked up a good heavy mallet, hammer, etc. out of the back of that. Well, boom! Brandon hadn't forgot it. And that was one. Jesus says they're surrounded. David prophetically says of Jesus. Well, if you ever go study of Bashan, who lived in Bashan? This is the stuff I really get wound up on now. Bashan was the land of the giants. King Og was 13 foot plus tall. Bashan was the land of the giants. In a sense, when you study it further, even prophetically, where it was demon spirits of Baal and the demons resided there. And things were huge. And Jesus says, the cattle that are in, the large bulls that are in that area, they're compassed me about. Folks, this is where, if we're ever at in our life, and most every one of, if not every one of us have been there and feeling those things literally surrounding us. Jesus, through David, said prophetically, I know where you're at, and I know how you feel. I'm telling you, when I got a hold of this and I seen the prophetic words of David speaking of Jesus, he feels like a worm. He feels all of this stuff. But yet God is going to speak and God is going to do a work and God is going to develop. Now, setting the foundation, I'm going to try to process this in a sense where we could grab a hold of it, but yet get into some vital things that I think the Lord laid upon my heart. There was a statement. How many knows that we have a lingo in our words? So we can say them around here, and then if we go to another part of the country, they don't know what we're saying. You know what I mean? I went to Bible college, and we had two Canadians, eh? And let's go get something to eat, eh? Like, I don't eat hay. We'll go get something to eat. And so there's the different lingos. Well, there was a lingo in every culture has this. So it is in the sense where Jesus lived. There was a strong statement that was made three times by Jesus. And I'm not going to get into the Greek and break that all down, but there was a strong statement. It was used three times. This statement was very much of a strong statement. Number one, he said it when he said, "Get thee hence." When he said Satan, in Matthew, the fourth chapter, when he was tempted, he said to Satan, "Get thee hence." Jesus doesn't seem to be disturbed by as much as the other two temptations as when he did and identified that, when he said that strong word, "Get thee hence." The second time he did is when Satan tried to keep men from touching Jesus in Matthew, the eighth chapter. He said, "Go," and he said unto them, "Go," and when they were come out, they went into the herd of swines. When the demons there, he made an emphatic word, "Go." So get thee hence and go. It was a strong word. And then the third time, when Satan wanted to remove suffering from Jesus, trying to use Peter, when he said, Peter, brought onto the Peter's mind, don't let Jesus go to the cross. Don't let him get to the cross. And Peter thought he was doing something good, right? I mean, Peter had just been blessed, given the keys to the kingdom. I mean, his name was changed, Brother Brian. You talk about an experience. Then he makes this statement. "No, Lord, this won't be done to you." When Jesus told him about the cross and told the disciples. And Jesus used that strong word. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And in the literally Greek, you can tell, according to theologians, that Jesus literally turned his back towards Peter. So to give a demonstration, "You are behind me." Folks, let me tell you something. If we do not get strong in our spirituality when we're dealing with those things that we are having trouble with or that are against us or against the will of God, we are not going to win. We can't approach this thing. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffereth and the violent taketh it by. Where is that in a patty cake process? I, Sister Ashley, I like Brother Phillip's statement. "I'm going to hit the devil before he hits me." He'd make that statement to me. He used to make that statement. "I'm going to hit the devil in the mouth before he hits me in the mouth." And this is where we're at in walking with God. So I'm going to move on down. I'm going to continue to move. And suffering is a misunderstood concept of Christian living. How many's enjoy suffering? We mistakenly believe that the apostles were always victorious over everything. And in truth, they were victorious through everything. As I was talking to one individual, I knew it had in my mind, I just lost it, but I was talking to a friend of ours. There's a wonderful thing. Ashton and Mason and Braley and all those, and the Chisholm, I've told y'all many times, but when we're sitting in the stands and watching games, there's a beautiful relationship that is involved, and I've been able to minister to so many of those people, and one of them in particular, his dad is old. Some strong positions in our community, in our city, and he had a heart attack, and et cetera. But I was telling his son, as I was trying to minister unto him, I said, "Listen," and Pastor Meyer, I think, has mentioned it many times, is you can't climb up a smooth mountain. We want mountaintop experiences, mountaintop views, but the only way you're going to get up a mountain is if it has some rocks and some edges and some ridges to it. So this victory that we have, the apostles didn't get over stuff. They went through stuff. They didn't triumph over something. They triumphed through something. Why? Because Jesus didn't come to remove the hurts and pains. What he came to do is to know that we can go through the hurts and pains. And more times than not, we develop through those. And that's the priority. That's the priority. And in fact, if anybody deserved a healing, it was the Apostle Paul, in my mind. Would you not agree with that one? I mean, if anybody deserved to be touched by the virtue of God, it was the Apostle Paul. But Jesus said, no, because there's some things that you're learning through the suffering. You're going to keep that thorn in the flesh. If you study some of that, most people think it's something that had to do with his eyesight, according to Jewish tradition and things. I got to thinking this afternoon, has anybody ever been in a good fight? When's the last good fight you've been in? That means they ever had their eye blacked. Mom, Dad, y'all remember when I came into the house and had that big old shiner like this? Yeah. Big shiner. Brother John David, that old boy just sat on me and whooped the tar out of me. That was the one I lost. What's the Bible say? Walk by faith and not by... You know, sometimes we need some things in life to cause us to lose eyesight. Because we've got too dependent on the eyesight. Now, that was just some of my wonderings this afternoon. I thought, you know what? There's some situations that black and dot our eyes. We're dealing with some situations maybe in our own life or in our families or our grandchildren or et cetera, and that we are blindsided. Has anybody ever been blindsided? That's a beautiful opportunity to relearn how to walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus said it, and the word of the Lord says it. What the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. You see, even the demons that crucified Jesus, had they known it, the Bible said they wouldn't have done it. Jesus is proclaiming prophetically, David's prophetically proclaiming, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Growth takes place in the adversity of it. Growth takes place. One of the, I use life stories. T, you'll remember this. Last year, we had a bunch of eighth graders and we went and played tournaments against JV teams, and one of the Saturdays that we played, we had no subs. Remember that one? No subs. Playing basketball with no subs is not fun. We had three games. The second and third game were back to back. No subs. At the end of the third game, one of our guys fouls out. Now we're down to four. No subs. And then you had crazy dads like me and a buddy of mine still yelling, you got to give it all you got. Keep going. You can do it. No subs. It was something, though, about that day, and I told the boys after it was said and done, you'll never forget this day. And you will remember it when you get older, because life is going to present you some situations where there's going to be no subs. You can't check out. You can't go get a break. Just know that you, through the Lord, you can endure and you can keep going. When you think it is at the end of your rope, the Lord is there. They were probably dehydrated, white as a ghost. They're pale anyway, at least three of them, I know. I mean, Ashton's as wide as you get, and his two buddies on each side of the Lord. I said, man, y'all are even paler than normal. But at the end of that game, I mean, they were playing guys that were skilled guys in the Metroplex area that were sophomores, and they were eighth graders, and they fell to the floor. The end of it. Spiritually speaking, it's just like the thought I had this afternoon. Sometimes I need my I's dotted spiritually to so know that I can still walk by faith and not by sight. When I don't see what's in front of me, I know God is directing the path. When I don't know where to go, I know God is directing paths. Not only that, when Jacob, we mentioned Jacob, and I've got it in my notes. When was he blessed? He was blessed in the 27th chapter and the 28th chapter. But when did he wrestle with the angel to really get that growth process? In the 32nd chapter. Life and years, almost like it was what I studied, 20 years took place from the time that Jacob got a blessing and made a decision where I'm going. It took a while for him to get right where he needed to be. But growth happened. Peter, get the keys to the kingdom, but you can't drive the car yet, baby. Now, how many would have really enjoyed your parents showing up, giving you the keys to a vehicle at 16 years of age and saying, you can't touch it until you're 18? You know that little song, Kung Fu Fighting? That's probably what I would have probably been doing. That wouldn't have been too good. But there was growth that was taking place through the adversity and through the struggles and through the strife and through the measures of life difficulties that we do not wish for. God was going to do a work. I'm trying to hurry. Sufferings is only... You're going to only overcome sufferings if you go through everything. God's purpose is not to remove suffering, but to use suffering. The devil hates that. Let me say that again. God's purpose is not to remove suffering, but to use suffering. God never wastes a hurt. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's a real statement made by David. And Jesus has said, listen, you remember the Bible says he was tempted at all points. I've been in every place that you've been in. I've suffered every disappointment that you have suffered. I've struggled in every manner that you have struggled. I'm the only one to come out victorious, unblemished. So what does that mean for you and I? He knows we're going to fall. How many's ever climbed that rigid, rough mountain and slid back down a little bit? How many's ever tried in that sense and you're up and you're struggling and you slide and you lose grip and you're scraped up? I'm not going to quit climbing that mountain though, because God is teaching some things. God is teaching me some things about myself. Let me just say it this way. Okay, I'm going to pause there. I'll get to it. I've got this thought in my head. You have to understand the way preachers think, okay? This is what's coming out of our mouths. The next thought's right here, and then the next thought after that is right back there, and it's a continual process. I just let you in on some secrets there, didn't I? So I've got one right here that's just trying to get out. I'm putting it on hold. But that's the way it works. It's like when you eat cereal as a kid, as a boy. You got that bite, and it's at the back of your mouth, and well, the next one's coming in at the front of your mouth, and you know what I'm saying? So, somebody say suffering. God's using it. God's using it. And the devil hates it. Questions. Somebody say questions. God's using them. And the devil hates it. I mean, Jesus is still asking questions on the cross. You kidding me? Jesus has still got a question. He made seven statements while on the cross. Seven. Go home and study them. They're powerful. One of those statements was a question. I don't know about you, but I don't know when I'm going to go. I just watched a video. Brother Bob, I just watched a video on YouTube of 100 and 102-year-old men and women running 100-yard dashes. A 100-year-old man ran a 100-yard dash in 19 seconds. I mean, he Usain Bolted them up and down. If y'all don't know who Usain Bolt is, go Google that one. Brother Sterling was mentioning it Sunday night. I thought, I wonder how many really know Usain Bolt in here. Usain Bolt's the fastest man in the world, and best man that's ever lived, has been timed. But I thought to myself, now I may not be running 100-yard dashes when I'm 100 years old. But if I get to 100, I still want to be thriving in some level or fashion, if it's only my mind and my spirit. I mean, that guy was showing out. If I can't lift a leg at 100 years old, but I'm still here by the grace of God, I still want to have praises and worship coming out of my mouth. But don't fret your failures if at some process, when it's all said and done, and you still have a question mark because Jesus did in the flesh. That's comforting to know. Why does it have to be this way? I deserve better. What is the answer? He's asking that when he's at the end of his life. Thankfully. Why is that? Let's just boil it down. Y'all gonna really get into where I live and how I process. Why is that? Because he knows that you are capable of it at the end of your life. And he's tempted at all points as we. Brother Ronnie, how old are you, sir? 60. You 70? I hope I have your hair at 70. Y'all don't know it. I may be shaving it off, and I got a head full of hair. You don't know, do you? I mean, when we and him drive the bus, and they say, "Who's the old guy?" I don't know who they're talking about. They could be referring to me. But listen. If you live to 100 and you still are struggling at 100 years old at the end of it, Jesus did too. That's comforting. It lets me know that there's still growth process happening right up until the end of the age and the day I live. He's still going to grow. Because Jesus didn't cash in the chips. He didn't say, forget this. He said, no. I may be in a place where the anguish and the turmoil of this where I am at is almost to the place of why am I feeling forsaken? But he's like, no, I'm not coming down. He could have come down from the cross. Did he not say that? He could have cast in the chips right when he asked that question. Did he not say it? I can summon 12 legions of angels. Do you know how powerful 12 legions of angels are? Do you want to know? Do you know how many one angel killed in Assyria in the Old Testament in one battle? 186,000. One angel. When you start to multiply a legion, now a legion is a army term, correct? And a legion is 10 to 12,000, 8, 10, 12,000, something like that. Okay, that's what I gather too. I'm just trying to make sure. Neither was I, brother. Listen, though, if that was the amount of the legions and you multiply that by 186,000, I did it one day. I heard the word fella this week. It was you. We We had a good conversation. But listen, do you know how many that is? That's over 13 billion that Jesus, he could have taken care of. What's the population of this world right now? Now, y'all are really getting into my head because this is what I process, all right? The population of this world right now is somewhere 6 to 7 billion. Is that what they say? So double the world's population right now, and Jesus is saying, I can call that many angels down to take care of that amount of people. He could have done it when he asked the question, why have you forsaken me? He could have, but he didn't. Trying to get to us tonight that through struggles and through trials and through the stretching process and through the hurts and through the anguish, Jesus knows where you're at, but don't cash in the chips. Know that there is still a work and God's will is being done in your life. His will is being done because the will of God for Jesus to shed his blood, that earthly, fleshly body, to be killed. It was the will. Now, page 2. Turn to the book of Matthew, the 15th chapter. I think my dad said, oh my, so. Turn to the book of Matthew, 15th chapter. Don't worry. Turn around and smile at your neighbor while I'm getting it. Matthew, the 15th chapter, 21st verse. Bible says, then Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, now I love the word cry. When you read it in the Bible, it gives a little oomph to it. This was not a regular conversation. This was not somebody just shooting the breeze, all right? This was not somebody catching up on the news. This was a cry, just as we read in Psalms 22 and 1. She cried. She cried unto Jesus, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou art the Son of David. So stop right there. She was a Gentile. She was not a Jew, but she identified who Jesus was. Very important. You know who Jesus is. Before you get going, you make sure in your mind that the enemy does not steal who Jesus is from your life. She said, my daughter, she identified Jesus, and then she began to lament and cry out. It's my daughter who is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. How rude. There was no acknowledgement, Tanner. I don't know about you, but I don't like my brother when I have conversations. He's processed it now, but used to some years ago, Brandon would come up to me and he'd have conversations and I wouldn't say anything. What I was doing is I was learning what Pastor Meyer was teaching. This is back when I was 23, 24. You know, when you ask Pastor Meyer sometimes a statement, he doesn't answer you like that. He processes it, and then he answers. So I was picking up on that trait. Brother John David knows what I'm talking about. Anybody ever seen that one? So I wouldn't answer. And I was just picking up on a trait and trying to learn how to live life correctly. And Brad was like, man, why don't you answer me? Shaboom. And the fact of the matter is, and I appreciate his honesty, because he didn't like to be ignored. Neither do I. Jesus did not answer her a word. Not, hey, how are you doing? I'll get back with you on that. Let me think about it. Nothing. The silence of God is not comforting. When we are tested with God's silence, don't lose the fight. Just know that he's still there. He has an answer. But there's something that's got to grow. Now, in this, how many remembers the night at the end of church? I got everybody's attention and I prayed. I said, we have to have an answer tomorrow by 5 p.m. Does anybody remember that? You hadn't asked me about it. You know what? I couldn't have told you anything. Mom and Dad, did we have an answer at 5 p.m.? We probably really didn't get that answer until just last week, did we not? At 5 p.m., I put a line on. I said, God, you got to show up by 5 p.m. tomorrow. I mean, it's right there. I'm fixing to bring the whole church. Now, this is my thoughts. I'm fixing to bring the whole church in on this. This is not too comforting, but I'm fixing to lift my voice, and I'm getting everybody to pray that we have to have an answer by 5 p.m. tomorrow. So guess what? I did it, and all the church prayed, and 5 p.m. came, and nothing. I mean, not a no, not a yes, not a nothing. Finally, we step back from the situation. And we let it start processing out. Nothing. Now, how long ago was that? I mean, that was a few months back. Silence. You know what? When last week started unfolding, we started seeing the fruition of God answering our prayer. I mean, God answered a big prayer. When I'm processing this Bible study for tonight, God puts this in my memory. Hey, you remember when I was silent a few months back? You didn't like it, did you? I mean, I don't know how many times Daddy called me or Dog talked to me. He said, man, what do you think's going to happen? What did I answer, Dad? I don't know. We didn't like that answer, did we? I didn't know. What am I trying to say? I'm telling you this, that sometimes God is silent and it's not comfortable and we don't like it, but just know His love has not decreased. His concern has not decreased, but there's some things that are taking place that He is moving and making. I just shared a testimony with Brother Jim before the service. I said, man, I thought it's a God thing that happened the way that's just between Him and I. I mean, at the perfect timing, something happened to set the stage for what I believe is going to be another miracle. I don't know why it happened like that, but God knows the time. He knows and understands. When Jesus is silent and not speaking, He still is at work. So let's process this story. Turn your attention back. Few more minutes. 8:10 is my go. It's 7:57. Just giving you a heads up. If any of the children are asking Mom and Dad when we're going to be there, there's your time. Any of God's children. You are God's children, right? I'm shooting for 8:10. Unless we have to stop and get gas. He says it this way. He answered not a word, and the disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. She will not shut up, and yet you're still silent, Jesus. Now she's nagging us, and yet you're still silent, Jesus. There's a commotion, and yet you're still silent, Lord. You've got to do something about this. You've got to do something about this. Finally, Jesus speaks up, and He answers her and says, I'm not sent here for you. I'm sent here for somebody else. Micah, can you put that on the screen? In case those people that don't have their Bibles, Matthew the 15th chapter, 24th verse, and we'll continue all the way down to the 28th. He says, I'm not sent here for the lost sheep of Israel. I'm not here because of you. I don't know about you, but that's a statement I would have not wanted to hear. You're talking about a concerned parent, and you know how concerned parents get. I mean, let's process this out, folks. Don't read your scriptures just because it's in your daily reading. You need to get a hold of this stuff. These aren't just a museum of Bible stories that we sit there and honor once or twice a week when it's read from the... This is real life stuff. I've told you many times, don't read your Bible like you read the newspaper. It's a spiritual, life-giving source. Read Country Woman or Reader's Digest or any of the men's hunting magazine, any way you want. But when it comes to the Word of God, you need to invest yourself emotionally and spiritually in these things. You're talking about a concerned parent getting silent treatment and then telling you, I'm here. You know what? That's like a doctor saying, with a line of patients, I'm going to see everybody else, but I'm not going to see you. I'm trying to get it down to where we live, folks. We don't like that. We would not have liked that. But what is the process? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we have identified it in our lives. God's not speaking. I don't know what he's going to do. Let me just say it this way. Lord's helping me. How many's ever felt this way? The Lord's blessing everybody else but me. The Lord's answering everybody else's prayer but mine. Anybody? The Lord's touched everybody. How many of you, and I'm fixing to get really, 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 and you don't have to raise your hand, but if you're a woman and you've had young married couples, and you've experienced a miscarriage while other women are healthy pregnancies. Sandy and I had. It's not a good feeling. See, that's where this statement's at. Why are you blessing everybody else but me? Why have you answered everybody else's but me? Why have you touched everybody else but me? Why did they get it and I didn't? Anybody now know where we're at? That's what Jesus is saying. He said, I might come for you, but I've come from the lost house of Israel. Don't turn your back. Don't turn your back when you are going through a situation and it's not going the way you wished it had. I'm trying to help somebody. Not only that, these next words were very humbling. Those words in verse 23 through verse 26. Then came she and she worshiped him. Cody, bud, I'm going to be frankly. If the Lord would have done to me what he did to this woman, I don't know if I could have showed up Sunday morning and lifted my hands during worship service. That's tough. That's tough. But the Bible says, all right, he's ignored me. He's here for everybody else. But he still deserves worship. The enemy's going to lie to you. Do you think Jesus was loving her any less through this process? I mean, do you think, honestly, I'm trying to help us. Do you think, honestly, Brother Ronnie, that all of a sudden Jesus got a shot of love right there at the end? Whoa, man, I do love her. No. Do you think Jesus literally is just, just not concerned and all of a sudden he is concerned? Brother Jeff? But right now, as we're trying to process this story, is that not the way it looks? Is that not the way you're seeing it right now? Walk by faith and not by sight. Pastor Meyer has tried to get it over and over and over again. Don't go by your feelings. Go on what you know. She didn't go on her feelings. I guarantee you, every one of us would have been hitting the door saying, forget this. I've tried Jesus. I've tried church. I've tried the church people. I've tried everything, and nothing's working. Forget it. That's what I'd have done. But yes, this woman gives us a beautiful illustration. I'm coming to worship you anyway. Whew. Folks, that's why when we're in here worshiping, No matter what you're going through, no matter how your day's gone, no matter what you're doing, lift your hands, your voices, your heart, and cry unto Jesus. You're worthy. In spite of the crazy chaos of my week, you're worthy. Despite not hearing you or understanding or not knowing what's going on in the unknown, you're worthy. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but you're worthy. I don't know where I'm going at and where I'm walking or who's going to be there, who's not, but you're worthy. Don't lose worship and praise to a King and a Lord that knows right where you're at, no matter what. No matter what, worship and praise. I know it's hard sometimes, but do it. Don't let the devil steal it. He could have stole it. But this woman that wasn't even a Jew, she was a Greek, a Gentile that didn't belong there necessarily by culture. I'm still going to worship you. You're the Son of David. So listen, listen. She's worshiping him. And then he answers, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. But just put it this way. How comfortable would you be if Pastor Meyer had this conversation with somebody that walked through those doors needing the touch of God? Now, we love Pastor, but we'd probably be ready to jump on him, wouldn't we? What is he doing? Folks, this is our Lord and Savior talking. You know what he was saying? I can't take the food out of the baby's mouth of Israel and give it to dogs. What? That didn't sidetrack her. That didn't get her confused. That didn't deny her. I know. I know who I am. And I know I don't belong here. And I know all this stuff. But yeah, Lord. Yet, Lord. That's a truth. She said, truth, Lord. Verse 27. Truth, Lord. You're correct. This is not the way it works. This is not the way it's supposed to process. But yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. You want to know how to argue with God? When? Do you know you can argue with God? Anybody ever thought about it? See, y'all still get into my mind so much. Do you know there's biblical principle? Yet if there's 50, will you not destroy that city? Yea, 50 I won't destroy. What about 45? Will you destroy it at 45? Go read Genesis. No, I'm not going to destroy it. What about 40? If there's 40 souls, will you destroy it? No, I won't destroy it at 40. All the way to 5. If there's 5, Lord, will you yet destroy it? No. It started at 50 and it got it down to 5 by talking to the Lord. A persistent, faithful follower of Jesus Christ that is learning and growing in Him, God's going to bless. God's going to bless them. She didn't belong there. She didn't deserve it. She knew who she was. And she said, true, Lord, but I'm forsaken right now by everybody else. And Jesus finally said, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And the Bible says, in that same hour, Not when she got back to the house, not when she walked through the door, not when she got back home and the physician came. The Bible says in that hour, God did a work. While you're sitting right here, God did a work. Woo! That means right now in this church service, we're going to say a prayer here in a minute, but in that prayer, God can do a work somewhere else in that moment. Boy, that's building my faith now. How many needs God to do a work in somebody's life, your life or somebody's life right now, or a situation, and that may be in Timbuktu and they may be just over across town, but there needs to be a work of God done right now. I'm preaching faith. I'm teaching faith. I'm teaching principles of faith. You feel forsaken. You feel like, all right, I've had silence. It's been years. Nothing has taken place. There's been no move of God. God, you haven't said anything. You haven't done anything. Where are you at? All of these questions that I have, where are you at, God? I'm telling you right now, tonight, you can say a prayer and God can give a deliverance wherever that need is at. He's an omnipresent God. Not because that's just for, well, we know, but I'm telling you, as real as he's right here, is as real as he's in some other place of darkness and despair. I don't know what that room looked like that that daughter was in. She was vexed with the devil. I don't know what that house looked like. I don't know what that home looked like. I don't know what that situation looked like. I can say this, it's probably not good. Just say it this way and I'm done, all right? It's 8:09. I'm pretty close. Just say it this way. You wouldn't have walked in probably to that woman's home and said, boy, there's going to be a move of God here. I guarantee you, if you went door knocking right about then when Jesus was doing what he was doing with her, and if you were the church and you were knocking doors and telling people about Jesus, and if you would have knocked on that door at that exact moment, they'd open up. You're like, man, God's going to do something in this home. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. When you walk into rooms or situations and you get that eerie feeling. Anybody know? I promise you, that's probably what it was pretty close to being. Didn't matter. God was about to shine some light. He was about to give an answered prayer. He was about to do a work and a miracle. Whew. All because a woman saying, I'm feeling forsaken. I'm feeling forsaken. You got to understand, I'm not going anywhere. I've got to have a touch of your glory. So I want you to walk out. We're about to say a prayer. But when we're prayed and it's done and we left those doors, I want you to come on, go home with a few principles. Number one, you're going to feel forsaken. Yes. Number two is there is a time and a season for everything. I didn't even get to it to where I can't. Maybe next time. But there is a season that we go through and we need to make sure we're getting exactly. Well, let me just give it in a nutshell. Do you think when the children of Israel got up every morning to collect the manna off the ground, they were starving in that moment? I mean, do you really think in the morning time, do you wake up every morning like, oh, I'm starving to death? Now, you've went probably the most amount of hours in the day, 24-hour period, that you haven't eaten, correct? But you didn't get up. Every morning they did. They didn't collect manna because they were starving to death at that moment. They collect manna because they knew they were going to need it later on. You see, this is what we do, and I've got to quit, but this is what we do. We want to go run out and collect manna when we're starving. God, I need you. God, I need you. I need you. I need something. Oh, Lord, I need it. And people run to the house of God, or we kick our spiritual senses in overdrive when a need hits. Correct? Now we're at it. It's not the way it works. He's constantly trying to tell us, if you'd get up every morning and get what you need for that day fed to you, when you get hungry and when you need it, it's going to be there. Why? Because the manna in the heat of the day did what? It melted. And when the heat moments of your life, when the sun starts burning things up, when there's struggle and strife, and there's things in your life that take place at that moment, if you're constantly at that moment running out trying to get some spiritual nourishment, it's not going to be there. But if you will grow in the grace and the knowledge and grow your faith from faith to faith, if you grow it, it's going to be there, never let you down. And that's why when everything, all hell's breaking loose, you can still come to the house of God and worship him. Spiritual growth is vital. I want us to stand all over the house. We're going to pray specifically. We're going to pray specifically. I don't know where, maybe a statement, maybe it was just one statement, maybe it was one verse, maybe it was just a portion of what God has given me in my heart today that's ministered to you, but I don't know what it is, but I want, whatever it is, I want you to grab a hold of it, and I want you to pray that God would strengthen you, because I'm telling you, God is doing a work. God did a work in that woman's life as much as he did a work in the daughter's life of delivering from the devil. Right? Correct? God did a work in my life in this process. When I said I needed an answer by 5 p.m., God has done more in my life spiritually than as well as doing what he did through the situation. I've been a recipient. If your situation involves somebody else, God's doing a work in you as much as he's going to do a work in them. Does that make sense? God's not just out to heal somebody that you're praying for. God's out to do a work in you. Brother Jeff, God wants to do a work in those prisoners, but he's also doing the same work in you. Has that happened through the years? You're not just the one blessing the prisoners. You're spiritually growing as much as they are. You're getting a touch as much as they are. You're praying for somebody, God's doing something in you as much as they're doing it in them. So I want us to pray right now. In fact, I want us to begin to pray. And if God moves it on your heart to go pray with somebody or lay your hand on somebody, I want you to do that. I want you to strengthen somebody. But I feel the presence of the Lord here. Lord, I thank you, God, for this moment. If you want to come down to the front and pray, I want you to feel welcome to. But right now, I feel the presence of the Lord, and I feel such a strong, strong word of God that has come forth. Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, there is a ministry of faith in this house that I know that there's struggles, strife, heartache, questions. Lord, you said it. Why hast thou forsaken me, God? Even you processed this out. You felt that. You know where we're at, Lord. I'm not doubting that. You know where we're at. But I pray, God, for somebody's faith, that they would not lose the faith, that they would not get discouraged in even some of the silence, that they would not lose that struggle, oh God, and get frustrated and turn their back. The enemy wants to speak defeat. But God, you right now have come to speak growth, not just victory, but growth. Faith is going to be and climb. You said to that lady, great is your faith. I pray in Jesus' name that through the situations, not only that we've been praying for somebody else, but through our own, her faith was great, God. And because her faith was great, there was a healing that took place in her daughter. I pray it in Jesus' name that you would minister into our faith, oh God, right now. Come on, saint of God. Come on, mom and daddy. Come on, elder. I want you to reach out and grab a hold of something of a truth right now. The enemy wants to lie, steal, kill, and destroy, but you've come to give life.